Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. I'm so happy to have you all here for my second show. And I just want to say a quick shout out to everyone in the chat room. Thank you so much for being here. And go ahead and leave any questions that you may have that come up throughout the show, and I will make sure that I circle back at the end of the hour. So, okay, for those of you who weren't here last week, we dove into a lot. We talked about a few topics that are really near and dear to my heart, and we spent a lot of our time talking about cycle syncing, and we'll continue our deep dive later in the show, so make sure you stay tuned for more details on a few things that you can do throughout your cycle so that you can start to support your hormones and your schedule for both women who are cycling and men who have cycling women in their lives. But before we dive into our main topic for today, I wanted to take some time to talk about something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and I've just been feeling so drawn to talk about it. So it seems like it could be something that will serve as a grounding reminder for some of you, or maybe spark some interest. And yeah, it's such a significant pull that I can't ignore it. I don't think I should. But lately, I just can't stop thinking about the impermanence of life. And I know that sounds like such a dramatic, big title or anything, but I feel I'm transitioning into this new phase or era or season in my life. And every time this happens, I always have this moment where it dawns on me just how temporary everything is. Like, sometimes it's a scary thought, and it used to scare me a lot. Honestly, there's moments where it definitely still scares me, but I'm in a mode of my life where I'm finding it to be such a beautiful part of life. This fact that everything changes, everything's constantly revolving and shifting, and nothing is permanent. And I'm in one of those rare moments right now where things are finally lining up for the first time in a while. And so I'm in a moment of peaceful reflection as I prepare for this new phase of my life. I know that's a unique space to be in, but I'm really enjoying it, and I wanted to speak from here for a little bit. And for the past few days, really, I haven't been able to stop thinking about the first time I realized this back when I was a kid. And, you know, everything is so dramatic when you're a kid, especially when you haven't figured out that these phases are so cyclical, and, you know, all of your emotions are playing so high, and you're figuring everything out, and it's a big part of life. But when I was a young teenager, I actually did a lot of theater, and I absolutely loved it. It was always some big musical, and we got to dance and sing and wear these ridiculous and beautiful costumes, and we would help build the sets, and sometimes if we weren't performing in the shows, we would work backstage and help with the lights or the props. And it was just the perfect thing for me as a kid. It was such an incredible community. Great people, kids of all ages. It was just the perfect place for me. And I didn't really get any big roles until I was older, but I absolutely loved being in the ensemble and being a part of this temporary family for the 4 months of rehearsals and then the performances. And it was just such a good community for me as a kid. And I made some great friendships. I learned a lot about life, and it's where I became a teenager and started to figure out who I wanted to be. But something that I keep thinking about is the fact that every time a show would end, I would become so emotional because I knew that even though I would definitely do more shows at the exact same theater and I would see all these same people again, I knew that it would never be the exact same group of people again with the same costumes, singing the same songs in this specific phase of life. I specifically remember the first moment that I had this big immediate nostalgia for something that had just ended. And it was when I was in my first big kid show with a bunch of older teenagers. It was Singing in the Rain. And I was maybe 12 or 13. And it was my first time where I was a part of the older group. And I just thought these older teenagers were the coolest people, and I wanted so badly to be just like them. And they accepted me, and they talked to me, and we were friends. And it was such a big moment for me. And it was just a great leap into this new phase of being a teenager. It's such a unique moment that I love that I have that specific moment to think about and reflect on. And it was just such a special moment for me. And when it ended, I was inconsolable. There's something so incredible about how intense everything is when you're a kid. And especially when you're a teenager, like all your emotions are so big and your hormones are out of control and you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to be confident, you're trying to figure everything out. And learning about perspective is such a hard lesson to learn. And at the end of the day, you can't learn it quickly, it just takes time. But now, as an adult who's been through a few phases of life, I've realized that we have this exact same extreme moment all the time where we forget that everything inevitably changes. And maybe it actually isn't something that's so unique to being a teenager with all those big feelings and emotions. I think it actually is something that we experience all the time throughout life. And it may not be that immediate nostalgia or missing something that can never exist again so intensely, right? Maybe we're frustrated that we're stuck in this same painful and stressful time in our life. Or maybe we're angry that the same crap keeps happening over and over and over again. Or maybe our job sucks and you just can't see the end in sight and you're convinced it's going to be terrible forever, even though you're waiting for that response to this other job you applied for or a promotion is coming. All of these things are similar massive emotions, and it's actually bizarre how much more manageable they become when you take a second to remember that life changes and that this is just a phase, it's just a season in life. Like, whenever it's hard to do unless somebody tells me to do it, if I'm stuck in that moment of being so, just having a moment of feeling miserable, of saying this is never going to end. It is so hard to pull yourself out of that. And I'm kind of getting better at it. But in those moments, sometimes you just need somebody to say, hey, remember when you had that job that was absolute shit and you thought that would never end and you just couldn't wait to get out of it and you thought it would last forever? Well, that ended and it's part of your past now. And you actually reflect back on it and think, wow, I learned a lot. I grew a lot. Or, like, remember that feeling after your massive breakup where it felt like that pain and that mourning would never end and you would miss that person forever? Like, I feel like those periods always go on for longer than you want, but it's a part of your past now. And sometimes, unless somebody kind of shakes you a little bit and says, hey, life is a cycle, this is a season, but you can get so sucked into it and just feel like everything is permanent and nothing's going to change. And it's interesting because this is definitely something I spend a lot of time talking to my clients about on One to Listen. And it seems like sometimes we really do just need that reminder that life is full of seasons. So I feel like all of us are feeling a little bit of the chaos right now, or I just wanted to say, if you guys are feeling stuck or are annoyed at the repetition happening in your life right now, just know it won't last forever. Now, it could last for a while. So it's definitely important to try to get a little bit creative and see how you can try new things or attempt to thrive in this particular season of life because it doesn't always have to be hard or a period of waiting for this phase to end. We do have control over that, even though that's also hard to remember sometimes. And sometimes all you just need is to look back on all the other times in your life when you thought those seasons would never end. And that's the only reminder that you need. Okay, so my food for thought is over for now. And I just had to get that out there. And I hope for those of you who are stuck in something that feels permanent, that you know that it's just a season. Reach out to the people who can support you. Have a chat with the people important in your life, and you'll be fine. You absolutely got this. And so now that I got that off my chest, we can dive into the other impermanent part of our lives as women, and that's our cycle. Gosh, talk about something that is always changing and full of seasons. Okay, so before we jump in to this next level of talking about cycle syncing, I need to say I'm not a medical professional. Everything I talk about on the show is based off of my personal experience and research I've done on my own. If this is something that you want to incorporate into your life before jumping into the diet and the exercise aspect of it, chat with your doctor or your medical team before taking that leap, just to make sure it's a good choice for your body. They may not be familiar with cycle syncing. Mine certainly wasn't, but they'll definitely be able to tell you whether or not the diet and exercise change will be a healthy fit for you. Okay, so now that I got that out of the way, I'll briefly go over a quick summary of what we discussed last week. But if you want a full introduction where I go into the way our cycles sync up to the four seasons that we're so familiar with, and also share my experience with how I got into this massive lifestyle shift, head over to the On Demand tab on 1-2 Radio, and you'll be able to listen to my first show. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, cycle syncing is the lifestyle of shifting certain aspects of your life to support the four phases of your cycle. This can involve slightly altering your diet, shifting your workouts, and scheduling certain conversations or projects in your different phases. And I'm just going to do a really quick breakdown of the four phases of your cycle, just a quick reminder, because I feel like I need this reminder every once in a while since it is something that we're not taught, but it is such a great way to know your cycle. So your cycle starts on the first day of your period and is the beginning of your menstrual phase. When you stop bleeding, you enter your follicular phase, which lasts 7 to 10 days. Your follicular phase ends when you start ovulating, and that's when your ovulatory phase starts, which will last for 3 to 5 days. Then, when you stop ovulating, you begin your luteal phase, which ends when you start bleeding again and can last 10 to 14 days. So, those four phases are menstrual, follicular, ovulatory, and luteal. So each phase involves a different combination of hormones, which means your body needs different support throughout the month. You also have different strengths in each phase, which is a big thing we're going to be going into today. And for me, I started my journey in cycle syncing about 4 years ago when I realized just how out of control I felt when it came to my cycle and my hormones. And when I discovered cycle syncing, I just couldn't learn enough. So, about a year into this big change in my life, I decided to take out my IUD, and I spent the following 3 years getting to know my body off of birth control. Now, I know that not everyone is in a position where they're able to do that, and that's totally fine. Don't feel like, oh gosh, okay, I can't do this because I just need to be on birth control right now. I know so many people who have committed to the lifestyle shift of cycle syncing and are still on hormonal birth control, whether that's an IUD or the pill or, all the different options that are out there right now. And they still feel just how impactful this slight shift can be on their lives. It's huge. It blows my mind how even just learning about it and understanding how our body functions without making massive changes in your life can shift the way we interact with our body, and it just gives us more empathy for ourselves, which we absolutely need. So, okay, the main thing I want to jump into today is the way that you can adjust your schedule and your life to support your cycle. I found that this is such a great starting point for so many people, and that it can actually be a wonderful thing for both women to learn about, but also for men to understand in order to best support and connect with the women in their lives. It has been such a huge impact on my relationship with my husband when I started diving into this, and he was right there in the learning process with me. And the fact that he probably doesn't know that I'm in my follicular phase, but he's able to know this is the support that she needs and this is what she's able to thrive in right now. And I'll go into our system on that later, but it has been such a wonderful way for us to just thrive through life and use our strengths at the best times that we can. So, yeah, I saw in the chat room last week that a few people were talking about teaching their daughters this, and that just it made my day. Like I'm so happy that that is what you're walking away from this with, because that's exactly what I feel like we should be doing. And I can't even comprehend how impactful and healing it would have been for me to learn about my cycle this way back when I was first being introduced to my cycle and getting to know my body and experiencing those crazy changes in hormones and feeling so lost. And if I had been introduced to the empathy there for myself, I've had to go, I've worked so hard to heal from that part of my life. And I know a lot, I feel like a lot of women do, because we really don't give ourselves compassion at that time. And, it's something we don't talk about. And, oh, somebody finds out that you're on your period when you're 12 or 13, any time in your life, but when you're, especially when you're one of your first periods and you're 12 or 13, and oh, you didn't put the tampon in right, or you didn't change your pad at the right time, so it's coming through on your shorts, and it's the most horrifying part of life. And you're experiencing it when you're 12 or 13, and it's just this terrible thing we don't talk about, and women are shamed for it. And if we can just start to change the way we talk about it so that it's filled with compassion and empathy for both with our boys and our girls, like it would be some, I just think it'd be so monumental. So, okay, those comments about teaching your daughters this absolutely inspired the topic for today. Since this is the way I want to talk to my daughters and my sons about cycles when the time comes. So, the way that the world works, we're expected to be able to do the same thing every day, every week, with the same level of performance, the same outcome, without any regard to the impact that this has on our mental health. Now, let's just for a second take out cycles and hormones. We'll take them right out of the picture and talk about how we experience this as men and women. We all know that this is just a ridiculous expectation because we all have bad days. Like days where we slept terribly the night before, where we had a fight with our partner, where our dogs got sick and we had to take them to the emergency vet at 3 in the morning, or where our kids were just that much more to take care of. Like on these days, it's so much harder to function, quote unquote, normally. And we often fall short of our expectations or others' expectations. And then we feel pretty bad about it. And then there's shame and then there's guilt. And okay, I just listed off a lot of external factors that can impact our mood and mindset and performance and stress level and just the quality of life that we're living. And when we're talking about the phases of our cycle, we're talking about the impact our hormones have on our mood, mindset, performance, and stress level. And these internal factors all impact our ability to handle the external factors of life. And there are going to be days where you can handle unexpected stressful situations like a pro, right? Someone pops up and says, "Oh, the meeting's been moved up 3 hours. Your presentation's going to have to go right now." And you go, "I'm ready. I got this. Let's do it." Or there's times when your kid breaks their arm. And you're like, "Okay, to the hospital. We got this. It's going to be fine." Parent of the year, right? Or it's, and you just go on with your day and you may have a moment of panic, you may have a moment of stress, but you're able to handle it. You're able to process, have that moment, and then go into action. And sometimes we just flow and it's just boom, boom, boom. Things are lining up. Wow, this is chaotic and unexpected, and it's not necessarily gonna fit within everything else we had planned, or it may be a bump in the road, but we got this. We're good. You got your support team ready to go. There's times when it just flows. It's just great, no matter what's going on. And then there's days where unexpected, stressful things pop up and it's the final straw and everything crumbles, right? Your cat throws up on your grandma's carpet and it is the end of the world. Because you didn't sleep last night because you were worried your cat was going to throw up, or your boss yelled at you, or you had a fight with your sister, or your friend is going through something terrible and doesn't understand that you need her support. Like, all of these things add up. All these external factors, right? They all add up to whether or not we're able to handle unexpected, stressful things. And most of us go about life not really knowing when we're going to be able to handle stressful situations better than the other times. Like, we have no idea when those good days are going to be. We have no idea when those terrible days are going to be. And sometimes we can feel that inability to handle just one more unexpected thing. Like, sometimes you can feel the crumble starting to build. Sometimes just such a surprise, and we're having a great day, and then something unexpected and stressful comes up, and we're caught off guard, and our own struggle to handle the stress shocks us. And then your day's done. And you're like, wow, okay, there's no hope coming back from that one. I'm done. And most of us, we go through life not knowing when this is going to happen. And oftentimes we think about it as, oh gosh, I'm feeling so hormonal. I don't know why, but I can't handle one more unexpected, stressful thing. And we're mad about it. And we're beating ourselves up for not being able to handle it. And we're mad about our cycle. We're mad about our hormones. We're mad at our period. It's like, I have terrible cramps right now, but I have to go do this thing and I'm pissed, right? It's just, or the littlest thing happens the week before your period and you blow up at your kid. And you're like, God, I'm a terrible parent. Why did I do that? Oh, I never do that. That's terrible, right? It's just, all of these things happen and it just feels like we're out of control, because we are, because we don't have that empathy and grace for ourselves. And without understanding what the internal factors are for us as women, there's no way for us to have that grace and understanding. So the beauty of understanding our cycle is that you actually can learn the way that you handle stress in each phase and then prepare for it. So, okay, picture this, right? Imagine you wake up in the morning and it's the end of your luteal phase, right? That's phase 3. That's right before your period. It's right before your menstrual phase. And that's where most of us feel a little chaotic and out of control and emotional. So you wake up, it's the end of your luteal phase, and you take a second before you feed the cats, before you wake up the kids, or before you talk to your partner, before you check your emails, right? Before you start your day and all your responsibilities, you take a second to check your calendar. You remind yourself that you're in your fall season, in your luteal phase, and you tell yourself that today should be filled with grace and understanding for yourself. You remind yourself that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for an extension. It's okay to say, I just need a little more support right now. And you'll take that second to remember that anything unexpected or stressful may seem much harder to process or handle than usual. And rather than beat yourself up about it and think I'm not capable and think I'm a stressful, emotional woman, and think all of these terrible things that are thoughts that pop into all of our heads, you can cancel that, take a breath, and give yourself compassion and patience. Because in this phase, stress is so much harder to handle because your body is already going through the stress of preparing for your period. And there's only so much stress we as humans can handle. So no wonder unexpected, stressful situations seem like the end of the world, because our stress capacity is already at its max or close to its max, and we just can't handle one more thing. And sometimes by simply reminding ourselves that this is what's happening internally, and then choosing to be kind to our bodies and our mind, we can drastically shift our day. So a way that you can plan for this is you make sure to schedule those big presentations, the big deadlines that you're going to be cramming for the day before, the intense meetings that you have a lot of preparation for, or like anything stressful that can be scheduled for other parts of our cycle. You want to choose not to have those things happen at the parts of our cycle where our internal stress is already just super high. So the window to schedule these things is actually quite big, right? I feel like when I first started learning about this, I was thinking, gosh, am I only gonna have 5 days out of the entire month where I can handle stressful things? Because sometimes that's what it feels like. But when you start to understand your cycle, you'll see that the window is it's a little more than half of your month, right? So for the things that you do have control over, try to put those stressful things between day 7 and 22 of your cycle. This is going to be from your late follicular phase to your early luteal phase. This covers couple days. It gives you a buffer, right? So if you pick day 7 as a starting point, it gives you a little bit of a buffer for a few days after you stop bleeding so that you can recover from your menstrual cycle. You can start to feel the benefits of the building estrogen, and you're starting to feel you're building testosterone before it peaks in your ovulatory phase. So you have all these hormones working in your favor so that you have all these additional strengths that you can thrive on, that you can go kill that presentation, that you can handle that stressful meeting, right? That you can have that tough conversation with your husband or with your kid or with your partner, right? Or you can handle the stressful dinner with the in-laws, right? Like there's so many little things that we don't realize we can choose to schedule at a different time. And it's so easy to say, oh, I don't make that decision. That's out of my control. And sometimes it is, but sometimes all it takes is an ask. Sometimes all it takes is you just saying, hey, you know what? I feel like you don't have to go into why. You can tell some people why that you're comfortable with, but you really don't have to go into why. You can just say, hey, that's not going to be great for me. Can we do the next week? Anytime the next week. You pick it. Any day. Right? And that's just how you can start to just, every time you're scheduling something that you're a little nervous about, just glance down at your calendar and go, oh, right. I'm going to be in that week before my period and it's going to be chaos. Let's see if I can schedule this thing a week earlier or 3 days earlier. You know, just a day difference can make, it can just be such a huge difference. And then for those of you with kids and with daughters who are starting to figure out their cycle, right? If your daughter has a presentation in school, and say it's one of those presentations that she can go sign up for, and she can like sign up for a particular day that she wants to present on, you can sit down with her or teach her how to do it, and she does it on her own, and she can look at her phases of her cycle for that month that she's presenting, right? Because you can map it out months in advance once you get to know your cycle. And she can sign up so that she's presenting when she's ovulating for the best results and for the least amount of stress. And, you know, that's going to be like day 12 to 16 or so, right? There's that window of your cycle. And, you know, especially for certain things that you're going to have to do a lot of prep for, you're going to be nervous about a couple days before. You're going to maybe have to have those meetings right before, or, you know, maybe your daughter's not great about working ahead of time. I mean, what teenager is? But she's going to be cramming for it a couple of nights, you know, the few nights before. Make sure you plan that buffer in so that the couple days before the big event, you're also already in that higher energy, really social, really determined. You're in a creative mode. You already have all these strengths working with you so that those prep days are also supported by your hormones. And then as you get to know your cycle, also, you'll get to know how to best customize all of this to your particular body, because all of our phases are slightly different lengths, right? So some people bleed for only 2 days. Some people bleed for five. Before I figured all this out, I bled for 10. That was a shit show. But and then some people have a really long ovulation period while other people only ovulate for 2 days, right? So those are the two big factors that you learn about, because then your follicular and your luteal just kind of fit in between. And so that's something that we can dive into more as you learn how to pay attention to the different parts of your cycle and the different symptoms that you're experiencing, so that you know how long each phase is for you. Because each phase has a range, right? Well, if we look at what I was saying earlier, right? So your follicular phase can last 7 to 10 days, right? Your ovulatory phase can last 3 to 5 days, right? Your luteal phase can last 10 to 14 days, right? Some women have a cycle that lasts for 28 days. Others have 35 days of a cycle. Mine's 32 days, right? So you just learn the way that it all fits together, like a perfect puzzle. And then you can start to map it out on your calendar. Because once you watch, and each cycle shifts a little bit. So, you know, you may have one phase where your follicular phase is 9 days, and then your next cycle, your follicular phase is 11, you know, so it shifts slightly, but you can always plan around that. And we'll get into that later. But so, okay, right. When it comes to, I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, I'm blabbing away over here. Okay, hold on. So when it comes to the things that you can't schedule, right? Because there are some things we have a lot of control over. And then there's things that we don't, right? Where it's just that meeting is happening on that day and you have no say, right? Or the parent-teacher conference happens on that day and you have no say. Or your big performance in theater where you have to sing your first big solo is happening on that day and you really have no say over that, right? So there's plenty of things that we have no control over. And so what's important is, because I think a lot of us, and at first when I was first learning about this, I was so tempted to be like, oh gosh, okay. Well, now I know I'm going to be stressed and exhausted and cranky and moody when that big thing happens. Great. How is that going to help me? I was so negative about it. It's like, how is this going to help? Because I'm just now, not only is it great, I guess it's good. It's not going to be a surprise that I'm moody and cranky and tired. But, like, am I not just going to be dreading that meeting more? So it took me a while to figure out how I could support those things I couldn't control. And sometimes all it takes is just making sure you have a bit more support during that time, right? So it's doing things like asking for help when you usually wouldn't. If something stressful pops up in your late luteal phase and during your menstrual phase, right? Give your inner circle and the trusted people that you feel like you can actually talk to about these things, like maybe your husband or your brother or your sister or your best friend, right? Give them a heads up that, like, hey, I have this stressful couple of days at work and it just happens to be right in my late luteal phase and I'm nervous. Like, I may need a couple extra check-ins, or if we could do lunch on one of those days, that would really help me out. Or I think I'm going to call in sick, right? And I just need you to be okay with that. Like, whatever support you need in that moment, communicate that with them. And just give them a heads up, right? I'm going to need some extra support in this week. And then you can say, what do you need? How can I help you, right? Goes both ways. Or, okay, so if there's a big meeting that's going to happen when you're in your menstrual phase, right? Schedule additional prep meetings with your team so that you can have some more support going into it, right? It may sound like more work, or it may sound like more time you don't want to spend at the office, or, you know, all these things. But that way, you don't need to tell the people in your life who aren't that safe space, right? You don't need to tell all your coworkers, I'm gonna be on my period and it's gonna suck. Like, you don't need to, like, you know, that's, we're not there yet. I don't know if that's something we should ever be doing, but if we can have that grace and understanding and preparation with ourselves, then we can go, hey guys, I just had a feeling that I'm gonna need some more support, or I just would like some more preparation for this presentation, right? Or talk, if you know, if it's a parent-teacher conference that you're nervous about for whatever reason, have that chat with your husband or your partner and say, hey, can we make sure that, like, we get a sitter for longer and we can go and have dinner together afterwards? Because I think I'm gonna need that moment to like just regroup myself and have a second with you, right? Whatever you feel would be best to support yourself. You could also do things like book a massage for that time. Take a couple extra hours in the afternoon and go book a massage, like pamper yourself, or take the morning off and sleep in. Because sometimes the best thing, well, actually, some of the studies that have been coming out about the ways that different exercise supports women through different phases in their cycle are showing that if you nap and sleep instead of working out during your menstrual phase when you're bleeding, it benefits your body more and women lose more weight than if you push yourself and you do a crazy workout when you're when you're in your menstrual cycle, which is sounds like a fucking dream. Like, it just sounds like, you know, nirvana right there. But if you think about it, it makes sense because your menstrual phase is the most stressful part of your period, right? It's where your body is going through the most stress. And what is a workout? A workout is stress. There's times when you're in your in that 7 to 22 days of your cycle when your body can handle stress like a pro, where your body thrives in stress. But that is not during your menstrual phase, right? You are not thriving in stress in your menstrual phase. Your body's surviving and needs a nap. And I think that's just the most extreme level of how you can be kind to yourself when oftentimes we're just told just to push through it and put your head down and work harder. And if you're an emotional mess and stressed out, just you still have to get it done. When really you can get the same amount of stuff done if you just ask for help. Or if you just say, hey, could I get an extra week on this project? Or an extra weekend. Sometimes you really just need a couple more days because you can get the work done in that stressful part of your cycle when you are in your late luteal and menstrual phase. You just need a bit more time. You can't work at the same capacity that you normally work at in that beautiful window between 7 and 22 days. So, just beginning to understand how all of this works is it's just a way to incorporate grace and kindness into your schedule. And you'll start to notice that those stressful moments are easier to handle. And because you're prepared for it, even if you're not prepared for whatever the unexpected crazy thing is that pops up that no one could know would happen, you are prepared for how you want to react and how you want to respond because you know what your body is capable of and you know what your strengths are. And there's other ways that you can plan for your different strengths that come up in the other phases of your cycle, right? So most people feel like they have higher energy and a desire to be more social when they're ovulating. So that's when you can plan happy hour with your friends during your ovulatory phase, right? That client that you have to take out for drinks, plan it in that same window between 7 and 22 days of your cycle, right? We often beat ourselves up for canceling on plans with friends. We say, oh, I'm a terrible person, but I don't want to go, right? And if you just don't want to leave your house on certain days, like, we're told that's bad too. When it's okay if you just don't want to leave your house on certain days, and normally there's a reason. And a lot of the times, we don't understand why we have such a strong desire to just stay at home where it's cozy and safe, when maybe we're usually very social, like a very social person, right? Or it's such a weird moment when, you know, Say you were really excited about this date that you had planned a week ago. But when you, and then all of a sudden, it's the day of the date. And say a week ago you were ovulating, but now you're getting into your luteal, your like mid late luteal phase, and you're like, I don't want to go. What is wrong with me? I was so excited. This was going to be so much fun, but I just want to sit in my bathtub. Like, it's like, and if you don't know what your hormones are doing, you can feel like a crazy person. But when you know that your hormones are shifting and that your body needs more rest at certain parts of your phase and parts of your cycle, there's this, and that you have this internal stress that's going on that you have to accommodate for. Like, we give ourselves permission to live our lives in a way that will allow the best versions of ourselves to thrive every day of the month, rather than forcing ourselves to constantly perform in that ovulatory mode. That's just having that high estrogen and that high testosterone, and you're building progesterone at that peak ovulatory phase. You just feel like you're, queen of the world. Like, you feel like you can take on anything, right? And you don't feel that way every day of the month, but we're telling ourselves that we should, be able to perform that way. And that's just ridiculous. It's insane. Okay, so for all partners and non-cycling people out there who have women in their lives with cycles, right? Understanding this can be a monumental tool in your relationship with these women, right? So, the way that my husband and I do it, we have a calendar up on our fridge, and I have my four phases highlighted in just a different color so that we can know what my strengths are on any given day, and so that he can see this without me needing to tell him. And so it's also super subtle, right? So when friends come over and we're hanging out in the kitchen, it's not like my entire cycle is on display on the fridge in bold letters, right? They just see that certain days are pink and other days are green. Like, and who knows what the hell that means. So, I mean, my husband and I talk about my cycle all the time, and he's been a huge part of my process of learning about my four phases and getting to know my personal cycle and getting off of birth control. He's been a huge part of that support system for me, and so he pretty much knows what each phase means by now. He probably doesn't know what phase I'm in until he looks at the calendar, and that's fine, but he's able to kind of pick up on certain things and all that. And I know that's not how all relationships work, and word. We over talk about everything, and that's just how we thrive. But so having, yeah, a huge change in the way we just went about life once we both started learning about how cycles work. And in the beginning, when we were just starting to get to know everything, I created a little cheat sheet where I had all my strengths highlighted in the corner of the calendar that's on the fridge, right? So I had my menstrual phase highlighted in pink on the calendar, right? Those 3 to 4 days highlighted in pink. And then in pink at the top of the calendar, I had my strengths, which were napping, snuggling, movie nights at home, and takeout. Those are my strengths. That is what I thrive at doing when I'm in those 4 days, right? Then the next 7, 8, 9, 10 days, right? However long my follicular phases. I'm struggling to remember. It's been changing. But yeah, about 8 days. The next 8 days are orange. And then up in the corner, my little orange highlight says that my strengths are adventures, creativity, trying new things, and cooking at home. And then the next 4 days are highlighted in blue, and that's my ovulatory phase. It's when I'm ovulating. Then up in the corner, it says under blue, my strengths are date nights, trying new restaurants, intense workouts, and intimacy. I think a lot of us feel a higher sex drive when you're ovulating. It's a part of what your hormones are telling you to make a baby. So there's something that's very just primal about that. And for me in general, I mean, I'm somebody who has a fairly high sex drive, and I notice that during my ovulatory phase, the type of intimacy I'm craving changes. And that's a whole other thing we can get into and a really fun thing to talk about. But it's really great for my husband to know that in those four blue days, right, That's what I'm excited about. This is what he can initiate. These are the things that we can do, right? And then we talk about it a lot too. But then for the last phase, the luteal phase, I have 14 days that are highlighted in green. And then my little green box at the top says calm adventures, nostalgia. I get very nostalgic. And it's fun to talk about old times. He's learned that well at this point. Other strengths are having friends over, and then also, yeah, cooking at home and trying new recipes and stuff. So, by bringing my husband into this process, we began to thrive in a way we'd never experienced. And then, by just looking at the calendar and his little cheat sheet, he knew that he should schedule a date night at that new restaurant when I'm ovulating. And he also knows that he shouldn't invite friends over when I'm menstruating unless they're like my close circle of girlfriends. But that he does know that the week before, when I'm at my luteal phase, is a great time to have friends over for dinner. And then he knows that when in that orange phase, in my follicular phase, that's when we should go drive a few hours outside of the city and try that new hike, right? And the ways that we interact and do things together shifts so great. It's just incredible. And sometimes the way he supports me in my cycle are just little subtle things like that. And other times it's very vocal and we talk about how I'm experiencing my different phases or the things he noticed when I shift between phases. Okay, so I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, well, gosh, how do I know when day 7 is, right? Or how do I get those highlighted things up on the calendar? It's really easy. If you want to jump into this, the first step, take out your phone or your calendar, wherever you do all of your scheduling. And write down when day one of your cycle is. It's the first day that you bleed. Then and put that as day one, right? So say you started your period today. June 10th is day one. June 11th is day two. And go through the entire month and count out the numbers of your cycle all the way up to day 28 or day 35, right? However long your cycle is. If you don't know how long your cycle is, then just go up to 28. And then when you get to the 28th day of your cycle, keep adding until you start bleeding with your next cycle. And start to just jot down, oh, I started ovulating today. Great. That's day 15, right? And you'll just start to notice a couple little things. Or, wow, I am cranky today. Oh, no wonder. It's day 25 of my cycle. Well, that makes sense, right? Start to just take little notes wherever you can. I do this in a journal. I'm a very hard copy person, old school. But yeah, I have like everything written out in a calendar when I really got serious and started tracking everything. And this is just by taking down, you don't have to go as intensely as I did. I know I'm quite extreme in this, but just write down whenever you notice it. Just write it down and take note of what day it is, right? And then you'll be able to say, oh, that's because I was in my late luteal phase, right? And you just start to learn. Okay, so I want to take a second to jump right into my beginner's guide to cycling, which you can find at One to Listen under my profile, and it's under my email-based services. It's titled The Beginner's Guide to Cycle Syncing. And in this guide, I break down each phase and dive into the hormones at play in each phase of your cycle. I've written out the best ways for you to support yourself in all four phases and the best way to begin to get to know your cycle. I also have a full list of all the foods that will give you the best nutrients and vitamins and general support for each individual phase. This is something we'll go heavy into next week. And then I also decided to make it really easy for you. And I made a little guide, a daily guide. So it's a daily breakdown for how you can quickly learn about what you can best do to support your body and your cycle today. Right? All you have to do is know what day of your cycle you are on, right? So let's say you're on day 20. You'll go to the daily breakdown, you'll find day 20, and you'll see that you're in your early luteal phase of your cycle. Right? You'll see that you're in your fall phase. It's about 5 bullet points. So it's really condensed and easy. You don't have to read a ton. You can literally just see, okay, I'm in, let me just pull it up so you can see, so I can see. Right. Day 20, early luteal. You'll see you're in your fall season. You'll see the teas that are going to be best supporting. You'll see the workouts, right? Light cardio, yoga, Pilates. You'll see the mood, right? You still feel social, but people may start to irk you. You may start to focus inward. And then you'll see your focus, right? Push to get the bulk of your work out of the way before your late luteal phase starts. It's a great time to clean your space. It's a great time to have hard conversations. It's a great time to push to get that work done for your project. And that's all, right? You just see. And then once you see that, if you're like, okay, great, what should I have for breakfast? You pop up, you go to the luteal part of the diet section in the guide, and you see, okay, great. High protein is best for me right now. Let's go make an omelet, right? And it's just little things like that. But it's so much information to learn. And when I first started learning about all this stuff, I definitely got overwhelmed. And I was going, okay, how do I actually start doing in all of this without just taking these books with me all the time and flipping through the pages and trying to find out what's going on? And it's exhausting. And so I found that this is just the best way to jump in when you're still learning about what each phase is and you're still trying to figure it all out. And all you know is, I'm on day 20. What do I do? Right. But yeah, it's a lot of information to take in and to get comfortable with. And once you do, then it just starts to flow and you'll start to feel, wow, okay, just knowing that I'm in my early luteal phase is great because I know that I can push for this project to get finished. And I still can use those resources of hormones and energy that I have before my late luteal phase starts. And you're just setting yourself up for success that way. Yeah. Okay. So that you can find that at 1-2Listen under my email-based services, Beginner's Guide to Cycle Syncing. And it's just something I've been working on for a long time. And I'm really, really happy that I have it and I can share it for you guys. Okay, wow. Okay, time flew by. Thanks everybody for joining me today. I had such a great time. I love talking about all these things, and I'm so excited to jump into that chat room and answer any questions you all have left and just say hi to everybody. Make sure to tune in next week, Monday at noon Pacific time, where I'll be talking about whatever's on my mind by then. Who knows what I'll be feeling. But also the ways that we can shift our diet and understand our cravings to best support our cycle. That's going to be a big part of the focus. And I also just want to remind you that for anyone who's interested in an even deeper dive into understanding your cycle, I'll be offering a cycle syncing class at 1-2 Academy in July, which I can't wait for it. I'm so excited for that. And until then, you can find me at 1-2Listen, where I'll be online throughout the week. And I'm so excited to talk to you all. And also, I have a really fun announcement that I'm actually going to be a guest on Jay and Raven's Backstage Pass this Thursday, June 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. I can't wait to chat with them. They are both so lovely, and I'm so honored to be on the show, and I think it's going to be so much fun. So I hope you all will join us then. And until then, enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and happy Monday. Thanks so much for being here. Until next time, you guys, have a good one.